Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody here today. I tried to overlook it, but I just can't. We got three problems here this morning. Three problems. We got to deal with these. Problem number one. I'm having a bad hair day. Forget that. Problem number two, and putting me on the podcast, or is that what it is, a podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. But I was told when I got the microphone that we're starting the recording now, which means you recorded me singing. If I ever find that anywhere, I will come find you. That is not to be heard. And problem number three. Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah, when I saw it, I laughed because just what are you wearing, young lady? That should have an orange tee. No. Not. Just, you need to take care of that shirt. I'll get you a Tennessee shirt if you want one. She's having a good time. It's like, you're my buddy, aren't you? No, she's not going to laugh. All right. You know what that proves? That proves you can get 27 people to watch just about anything. Why is that important? We're going to find that out this morning. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for the good news that you've given us. Help us to share that good news with others. God, you've given us the best news ever. Let us share it in Jesus' name. God, in our time. Why is it important to know that fact? Because we as Christians, we have good news. In fact, we have the best news ever, okay? Best news ever. Does anybody know what gospel means, the word gospel? Good news. It literally means good news. And when you hear good news, you like to share it, don't you? I like to share good news, okay? Boy, Rachel's giving me that look. Don't ever talk about my shirt like that. See, good news. If Tennessee wins, I like to share that news. If it ever happens. Okay? I shared this a couple months ago. I was on Facebook, and I saw some news on Facebook. And of course, if it's on Facebook, it's got to be true, right? I was scrolling through Facebook, and I live in Elizabethton, Tennessee. Okay? Good balls. And we used to have this really, really, really good seafood restaurant. It's called the Mayflower. And it went out of business. Well, I was scrolling through a couple months ago, and I saw this article, Mayflower to reopen. Good news. So immediately, I did a screenshot, and I sent it to our director, Dave Johnson. I said, Dave, check it out, because he likes the Mayflower, too, you know. The Mayflower is going to reopen. What did I do? I saw good news, and I wanted to share it. We've got the best news in the world. What were we saying? We've been forgiven. Our chains are gone. Wow. You know? And you were sharing with me, Chris, about how we're justified. That means basically just as if we've never sinned. And if you've put your trust in Christ, that's your position. It's like you've never sinned. Our chains are gone. That's good news. I'm a missionary. Camp Tapawingo. A little break in here. Thank you all for supporting me. Thank you for praying for me. And because you did that and others that do that, we had 52 some kids trust the Lord as their Savior this summer.
All
right. That's awesome. You know what? Someday they're going to thank you too in heaven. 52 lives have been changed. Wow. And I don't know about you, but I want to live my life and what I say and what I do to be able to reflect Jesus. Do you want to reflect Jesus? Is that your goal? Is that what you want to do? I want to do that, you know? And God has given us spiritual gifts. When we become Christian, one of my spiritual gifts is being an idiot, okay? God uses that in my life. And there's a verse, I think it's 1 Corinthians, if I am out of my mind, I'm out of my mind for him. I love that verse because I get to be out of my mind and have a good excuse. That's great. So are you living a life? I want to share. In fact, let's turn on your Bibles to turn on your Bibles. Yes. They're a little slow this morning. Matthew chapter 28. If you have a Bible. Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to move this. Because if I don't, I'll knock it off. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, you can learn a lot from someone's last words. Now, knowing me, if I'm on my deathbed and I'm taking my last breath, I'm probably going to say something crazy like, pass the strawberry cheesecake or something like that, you know. But most people, their last words are pretty important. No, I probably won't do that. Well, it depends on who's in the room. But, you know, Jesus' last words were go and tell. And someone once said, Christ's last command should be our first concern. I want to do that at camp. I want to live my life, not just with my words when I'm up front flapping my gums, but when I'm out living around the kids, doing life with them, and I get a flat tire on my golf cart, I want to reflect Christ. When it's raining for the fourth day and I've got to come up with another plan B game, I want to reflect Christ. And I want to share about a couple people at camp, came to camp as kids, and all three of these. First one was Rachel. Rachel came to camp as a day camper. And she came to camp, had a lot of fun. I got a picture of Rachel taking a potato smasher. What's a potato smasher? It's a big can filled with cement that you smash potatoes with. I make up the games, okay? And she came up there. I think it was a Western theme. And what that had to do with Western, I don't know. We were smashing potatoes. And she had fun, she had a great time. But at that time, she didn't know Jesus. Then there was a kid, his name was Wayne. I was at a camp called Camp Wabana. And the week prior, I had a guy, I think his name was Brian. And then we had a break, and my friend said, Paul, did you have Brian in your cabin? He was not really well behaved. I said, yeah. He said, you got Wayne this week. Compared to Brian, Wayne is a terror. And he was. Kind of like Emily when she came to camp. No, Emily was far worse. No, just kidding. But Wayne, he was pretty bad. And Wayne didn't know Christ either. And there's a young lady named Angie. Angie came to camp, and she actually was a junior staffer at our camp. She claimed to know Christ, but deep down inside, she knew she wasn't a Christian. Well, what happened to these three? And I'm not taking all the credit, but I am saying that I try to live my life so that others may see Christ in me. And I try to share it with my mouth. And because of what I did and what others did at camp, Rachel, one time when she was at camp, came to Christ, and her life was totally and completely changed. She became a new creature in Christ. And I'm so glad for that. Wayne, everybody thought there was no hope for Wayne. Wayne was, he's probably the worst camper I've ever had, at least in the top 10. Okay, really bad. But God allowed me one day that week of camp to share Christ with Wayne. And Wayne put his trust in Christ. And Angie, we were at the Natural Park in Duffield, Virginia. And we were getting ready to have chapel service. And some teenagers came running over to me and said, "Uncle Paul, Angie wants to get saved." I mean, I thought she was saved. Okay, let's do this. And I got to lead her to Jesus Christ. It's important what we say and what we do. And you know, each one of these, in their own way, is sharing Christ as well today. Rachel, she's the wife of a pastor. Angie, she lives in Honduras as a missionary. Wayne, he lives in a place I'm really excited to go to someday. Because after that summer, I got a newspaper article in the mail, and it was about a little boy named Wayne who was riding his bicycle and got hit by a car and went into eternity. Sad. However, that same article said that at a summer camp, he put his trust in Christ. So even through his death, he was sharing Christ. We need to share Christ. Are you sharing Christ? If you want to look in Acts chapter 16, we're going to learn about another couple guys who shared Christ. Shared him with their life and with their words. Acts chapter 16. I need someone to help me real quick. Who wants to help? You want to help me? I saw your hand. Stand right here. Hold that. What is your name?
Addie.
You're right. Okay. This is the puppet portion of the program this morning. How are you today, Mr. Bag?
Fine, Paul. How are you?
I'm fine. Tough crowd. Addie, right? Your name is what?
Addie.
That's the same thing you told me last time. Okay. Addie, put that in the bag. Is it in there?
Yeah.
Look really close. Okay. It's right there, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to set this bag right here. Go back to your seat. Keep your arm on that bag. Okay. What color was that scarf?
White.
Acts chapter 16, verse 11. From Troas, we put out to sea. Anybody like to go sailing? I'd get seasick. And sailed straight from whatever that place is. And the next day, we went on to Neapolis. I'm glad I was in Watauga. I can say that. From there, we traveled to Philippi. Blah, 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 blah. 13. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate on the river where we were expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who gathered there. Okay? One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. Okay? She saw Christ and trusted Christ. Skip down to verse 16. Once we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a female slave. That's going to be bad news, isn't it? Okay? A female slave who had the spirit by which she predicted the future. Something she shouldn't have been doing. That's using Satan's power. Don't ever get involved in that stuff. She earned a great deal of money for who? Herself? No. Her owners. That must have been a sad life. She did it by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." And that sounds like a good thing to tell people, right? Okay? And they're shouting that. And I'm sure Paul and Silas, they were cool with it for a while, you know, because, hey, she was telling the truth. She wasn't telling it with the right motive, but she was telling the truth. And thing was, verse 18, she kept this up many days. Now, if I was up here speaking and Chris was back there, no, let's go back to Rachel. Pick on Rachel again. She's over here going, "Go Virginia Tech. They're the Cavaliers, right?" See, like I care. I keep telling you, go Vols. Hokies. What is that, Hokie?
It's a fictitious bird.
Your school is based on a fictitious bird. Think about it. So I'm up here speaking, and every 10 minutes, Rachel shouts out, "Go Hokies!" And that might be true, but I'd get sick of it after a while and start throwing things at her, okay? Don't do that. Okay, here's the deal. Here's what was going on. And where are we at? I lost my place. It's trouble with these electronic Bibles. 18, she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of there, come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left her. Now, that was good news for this girl. That was great news. She'd been set free. Her chains were gone. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, what was important to them? The big bucks. They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful to us, the Romans, to accept the practice, our practice." The crowd joined in and they were severely flogged. Ouch. They weren't very nice back then, were they? You know what flogging is? That's whipping. Bad news. And then they threw him in jail. Let's see, verse 23, "And they had been severely flogged. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks." Fastened their feet. Got chains here. And I've got some locks. Is there a young person in here? Help. And is there another young person in here that would like to lock me up? I figured, come on up right now. I get to get him back. Lock for you. And a lock for me. All right, and I might need, Chris, I might need you to help. These are really hard to lock. I don't think Rachel will have any trouble out to get me. What I want you to do, Rachel, is lock those chains. Make it real tight. Doesn't have to be the middle or the end locks. Just as tight as you can make it.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go. You make a good Roman soldier.
There we go.
Okay, is it locked?
Nope.
Okay, there. Oh, very good.
All right.
Now, what's your name, Cole?
Cole.
Okay. Make sure it's tight. Make sure you get the... Hey, Chris, you might want to help
you got
me.
It.
Here, let me hold those together. Make some good choices there.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. All right.
We are locked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you guys can have a seat. Hope you enjoyed that.
Thoroughly.
I figured you would. Okay. Paul and Silas. They were locked. Of course, they had their feet chained. I thought that would be a little awkward, so I went with handcuffs instead. And they sat down. Now, it wasn't like the prisons of today, not like I've been there, but I hear that, you know, they're still not a nice place to be, but I'm thinking about the federal jail up in Mountain City, Tennessee. I'm pretty sure they have satellite TV and classes and things they can learn and rehabilitation, which, you know, that's great. If that works, that'd be wonderful. But these jails weren't like that. They flogged them. They beat them. They're sitting in prison. If I was sitting in prison, what would I be doing? Okay. They're in there in prison. And what do? I never thought about this. Would you mind turning the page, please? Oh, you know those, this has nothing to do with anything. You know the thumbprint thing on the iPhone? Mm-hmm. I did my nose print. Pretty awesome. So at midnight, what did they start to do? They started to pray. Now, if I was thrown in prison, especially for preaching about the Lord and sharing about Him, I mean, what if Roanoke's Finest came in and arrested me right now? I mean, they already got half the job done for them. You know, they dragged me out, throw me in prison just for sharing God's Word. Would I be praying? Yeah. But what would my prayers be like? Lord, why? How come? All I was doing was trying to share your word, and you let this happen. Why? Anybody? Anybody ever pray stuff like that? Oh, come on. Yeah, I have. Yeah. Literal prayers. Lord, you know I got to get to Walmart and back to camp really quick. Why are you stopping me at all these red lights? Red lights really get to me. I hate red lights. I just, you know, Chris asked me how long a trip it was. 3 hours. I should have told him 3.5 because I got to stop at every red light because there's a satellite that tracks my car. As soon as I pull up to a light, it changes red. I promise you. Okay. That's scary. But you know what? A lot of times my prayers are like that. Lord, why me? Why are you letting this happen to me? I don't understand. Why don't you answer this prayer the way I want it answered? You know, I'm just being transparent with you. Was that what their prayers were? Apparently not. I'm sure they had those prayers. Lord, can you kind of get us out of here? But what did they do then? And singing hymns to God. What? They're singing. They're in prison. Their wounds are starting to, well, they're still bleeding, probably. And then they're singing to God. That was convicting to me when I was getting this ready. I thought, wow, Lord, I need to watch what I pray. You know, is it okay to ask God why? Sure. But in the end, we need to follow it up with, not your will, but mine be done. That's part of sharing Christ and showing Christ. You know what? They weren't trying to put on a show. They were living out what was really inside. But what happened? The other prisoners were listening to him. That's not all that was listening. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake. That sound that we just heard, that wouldn't do for an earthquake. There was such a violent earthquake, the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open. That's incredible. And everybody's chains were loose. It was crazy. You know, their chains were free. Okay? They were free. And they were going, I'm free, I'm free. And this little kid came up and said, so what, I'm four. They were free. Verse 27. The jailer woke up, and when he saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Why would he do that? Well, they tell me, I don't know who they are, but they tell me that this would mean his life if he lost his prisoners, and probably torture in the meantime. So he thought he'd save them and himself some torture and just kill himself. So he drew his sword. He's about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Hey, don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Guys, you got something that I want. From what we read, they didn't even say a word to the guard. They didn't use this way. They used this way. They saw Christ in their lives. He said, "You guys are different. I want what you got." And his answer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved." And he did. Where's Addy? You've been watching this bag, right?
I hope so.
Reach in there and pull out the scarf. Okay. His life was changed. Thank you. Give Addy a hand. She did a great job. You can get a whole bunch of people to watch just about anything. Make sure they're watching the true Christ. Make sure you're showing Christ in your life. Okay? Can you help me? What's your name again?
Alyssa.
Alyssa, yeah, give me five. All right, give me one. There you go. Okay. Alyssa, see that box over there? Can you pick that up and put it right here on this desk, please? That's pretty good. You're pretty strong, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Here, pick it all the way up and put it down. Check it out. Give her a hand. Have a seat. You did a great job. Thank you so much. All right. You know what? We need to share Christ. But to do that, we've got to put some stuff aside. The Bible says to lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us. If we're living in sin, people aren't going to see Christ in us. If I was up here saying, "Live for Jesus," and then I go out there and don't live for Jesus, are you going to believe my message? No way. The Bible says we need to lay aside the sin. And even not just the sin, but the weight. The stuff that's not even necessarily sin, but stuff that slows us down in our walk with Christ. And that's what this is going to be. This is going to be the weight. Just adding a scarf here. Okay. So, we're going to put this in here. Okay. Walk that in there. Keep it safe. Quick story. Anybody like to play foosball? We know foosball. That's pretty good. I can beat y'all. Just saying. Bring it on. I was like the foosball champ of New Life Bible Camp in Buffalo Mills, Pennsylvania, right next to Gravel Pit, okay? And the way they got this foosball table was the guy was laying aside the weight. He got a foosball table, and he loved foosball, kind of like me and my friends. No fair spin in the man. You got to keep your hand on it. It's official. Okay? But he loved it so much. It became his God. It became his idol. It became more important than God. So he called up this camp in Pennsylvania and said, "Hey guys, can you use a foosball table? I really like it, but I want to donate it to the camp because it's becoming more important than God." What was he doing? He was laying aside the weight. You might not think that scarf, that weight, will weigh you down that much. You might help me out just a minute. Do you have a pinky finger?
Most people love
you. Feel good.
Right or left.
You get your choice. I just want you, what's your name, sir?
Jim.
This is Jim. Jim, I want you to take your pinky finger and just pick up the box and hand it to me if you would. Very good. Okay? He picked it up. You know, sometimes we think that weight is not going to hold us down. If you'll stand over here, sir. But if you really think about it, this weight can be very detrimental, okay? Go ahead and pick it up.
same thing?
Yeah, same thing. Okay.
One more time.
Hopefully this trick will work.
I paid a lot for this.
Better work.
Sam.
I feel a suction light right there.
Yeah. It was supposed to stay down anyway. Sometimes we think we get away with it, though. Those weights and that sin that you want, really. Because God knows it's in our life. And people will see that, even if the trick didn't work. God will see that. I want to encourage you folks at Life Point. You've got a whole lost world out there. A whole bunch of people that need to know Christ. Let them see in you what Rachel saw at camp. Not this Rachel, but the other Rachel. If you come to camp.
That's right.
Let them see what Wayne saw. Let them see what Angie saw. Let them see what the jailer saw. By the way, he was changed. Before it was, I'm going to kill myself because they're going to torture me. And then it turned out he took Paul and Silas out of jail. Said, I don't care. I'm going to serve Christ. Are you going to serve Christ? Are you going to let Roanoke see Christ in this church? One more statement and I'm done. Because of 11 people, I had 12 disciples, one of them was here. Because of those 12 guys, we're here today. Jesus said, go tell the world. We got more than 12 in here. And I got a team back in Tennessee. Let's change our world. Let's see Christ be magnified. Jesus, thank you so much for this. Thank you for the good news. Thanks for getting rid of our chains. There's a whole lot of people outside these doors that don't have those chains broken. There's some people sitting at home right now. They really don't care about you. They need to know about you. Some people perhaps sitting in a gutter wishing somebody would care. People at school that sit by themselves at the lunch table that need to know Christ and need a friend. People at work who work side by side each day, they need to see you. Help us, God, to be your disciples, to share your word, and to share your love. In Jesus' name.